Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Bev.
On a sensational Saturday when we're going to share a do not fear scripture.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Because we are not to fear.
No, we're not.
So today, October 21st, says in Luke 12:32, you're going to love it. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
He has given us the kingdom. So, today, baby, we are going to talk about something that we're both interested in. Yes, we are.
Hallelujah. It's called Seven Ways to Be Truly Happy.
All right.
We're all interested.
We like
in that.
To impart that to our precious people.
Yeah,
hear our voice.
Happiness is an outward expression of an inner work. We've shared that before. And it depends on what you do and how you respond to what happens to you. For people to be truly happy, there must be an inner realization of the mental and spiritual commitments they made. Be more than what they are. Do more than what they've already done, and bless more than they thought imaginable. Here are seven ways to be truly happy. First, something to believe in. The world is full of unusual people who believe in some really crazy things. Yet, they think they're completely right. People who think marriage doesn't have to be between a man and a woman actually think they're right. People who think it's okay to take the life of an unborn child actually think they're right. The Romans who threw Christians into the arenas beaten by lions actually thought they were right. What you think is right depends on your moral compass, the belief system you base your decision making on.
That's right.
We like to think that when a person's core values minimize or ignore the sanctity of human life, that it's their belief system that's out of whack and not ours.
Second, someone to believe in. From your earliest memory, you believed, hopefully, that your parents would provide for you. At some age, some children tragically found out that that belief was not really true. Unfortunately, some discovered that they could no longer believe in one or maybe both parents. Sadly, parents have let their children down over the years, even as children have disappointed parents. During a child's educational experience, you may learn to believe in the teachers because they seem knowledgeable and caring, at least for the most part. Many students who become athletes turn and believe in their coaches. A lot of times, I think God uses substitutes like this to be able to help people get where they need to go. We might learn to believe in a friend or someone who's willing to be there for us, maybe even a grandparent. In a popular culture where people are often mesmerized by celebrities who seem so much bigger than life, we sadly discover that a lot of their moral character is somewhat smaller than we could have ever imagined. If you're blessed in life, you'll not be let down too much by your parents, spouse, children, teachers, professors, coaches, best friends, employers, or others in whom you believe. But letdowns, they happen to everybody because nobody's perfect and they're going to, at one way or time or another, let you down. However, as we all know where I'm heading, there's someone you can always believe in.
Yes.
He may not feel like he's with you, but he will not let you down. And he is there no matter what. Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Number three, something to stand for. Peter Marshall, who once was the chaplain of the United States Senate, said once, because if we don't stand for something, we shall fall. Anything.
I never knew where we got that quote from, and I had forgotten about it over the years. So that is a very good quote.
He was a remarkable man.
He was. We used to quote it to our children all the time.
Some people are hesitant to take a stand for the Lord, for fear of others, what they might say or do. If that's you, take heart and be strengthened by the words of 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4 in the Message Bible. It's clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. I love this verse. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. The Holy Spirit will empower you with the courage of your convictions, even in the face of seemingly overwhelming odds.
Fourth, something to live for. Joe Louis, the famous heavyweight champion, boxing champion, once said, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." So the question is,
that's good.
We need to ask ourselves all the time, are we doing it right? If not, don't be discouraged. You can be a do-over. That's right. You can have a spiritual makeover. Let me bring this to your mind. You know, don't live with a money hangover or live with debt leftovers. Get a spiritual makeover, which will empower you to do the whole do-over, a total do-over. So here's a question. What does it mean to live for something? Here are seven thoughts to ponder and think about. First, core values. Second, commitment to a cause bigger than yourself. Third, being a doer instead of a talker. Fourth, operating with a plan. Fifth, putting your money where your mouth is. Sixth, never giving up. And seventh, seeing the reward, the success, the victory in your imagination, in your mind's eye.
Hallelujah.
And fifth, having something.
No, this is number five.
Excuse me.
Number five.
I'm sorry. So is seeing the reward, though, the victory.
Yes. Fifth, something to accomplish. The greatest accomplishment that you could ever have is not being at the top of your class in high school, college, or graduate school. Getting the job you wanted with all the perks you prayed for, or even marrying the person of your dreams. The great accomplishment, and the greatest accomplishment any person can ever have, is found in Isaiah 55:11. 55:11, a classic Amplified. So shall my words that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's a great verse. The words you speak, the words that come from the mouth of God, will accomplish everything it pleases and purposes to do. One of the most satisfying experiences in the world is to complete an assignment, achieve a dream, or do what nobody said could be done. Sadly, don't be disappointed if everyone doesn't share your joy, success, or thrill of victory. One last thing. Everything you can accomplish in life is not because of you, but Him.
Him living in you.
That's it. Isaiah 26:12. 26:12, New Living Translation. Lord, you will grant us peace. All we've accomplished is really from you.
Think of that. Sixth, someone to partner with. Wow. In Luke 5:7, we read, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. They should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And of course, we know what this is all about. The word beckoned actually in the Greek means signaled. Peter and his crew signaled their partners in the other ship when Jesus gave them so many fish, they could barely get them in both boats. Some scholars believe the partners are people who worked for Simon and his family. But we don't see it that way in the case that they would have had to be called employees instead of partners. Today maybe, but anyway, not back then. We think it's more probable that James, John, and some of the other disciples had been fishermen were in the other boat. Bear in mind that Simon's boat was being used by Jesus to teach the people, of course. And that's when he said, let down for the catch. But it stands to reason that the other disciples would have been in the boat as well. Luke 5:10 in the New Living Translation reads this way. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Truthfully, who the people in the boat were is not significant as what they were. Partners. You know, the root word in Strong's Concordance is the Greek word meaning to have, own, possess external things such as pertain to property or riches or furniture or utensils or goods or food. But a true partner is someone who will go down the road with you. Your partner is there when you're on the highest mountaintop and also when you're traveling through the loneliest valley. And let me add one other thing. Your greatest partner in the entire world will be the Holy Spirit, because he will lead you into all truth.
You're my partner.
Yes.
I love it.
We have partners on earth, yeah. But we need to be following the one and only partner.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Seventh, something to hope for. Hebrews 11:1, Classic Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of all things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Please notice that the thing hoped for is invisible, but faith is the evidence that makes it real.
That's right.
There's no such thing as invisible evidence. You can't go into a courtroom and win a case with invisible evidence. The thing hoped for is invisible. If you have faith for a new house, your house might be invisible right now, but your faith won't be invisible. If faith is invisible, the house will never show up. The Bible says that our faith is substance, or better said, it is the raw material that your financial return will be made out of. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently, carefully seek him. Mm. Summing it up, happiness is dependent on you and your faith.
Hope activates faith, which brings it your desire into reality.
Absolutely.
Mm. So tomorrow night, not tonight, but tomorrow night, don't forget, Rich Thoughts TV at 6, just in case you are busy in the morning, don't hear it till later. It's coming and it's good.
Yes, okay. It is.
All right, my darling.
Well, until tomorrow morning, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.